What a great comfort we may draw from this one verse. This speaks so highly of God's sovereignty. We learn here that God knew Jeremiah before his conception, and while in the womb, he sanctified him and ordained him. We existed in all eternity, it seems, because we were created in God's mind even before we were conceived. And so we're eternal, past and eternal future, because if you know who the Messiah is, you're going to spend eternity with him.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. This verse applies to every believer, not just to Jeremiah. God, in his omniscience, sanctified us before we were born. And so you see that Jeremiah is not exclusive. You have also been chosen before the foundation of this world. And if we have this common point with Jeremiah, then we also have the similar calling with Jeremiah. We also are called to obey and to do the work. Every believer is called to do a certain work that he was appointed to do. Jeremiah responded, and have you responded to the call of God? Welcome to Shalom Ariel and to our continuing study in the book of Jeremiah with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom, Shalom.
But this is not where the importance of Hilkiah really lies. The point is that if Hilkiah, the father of Jeremiah, was the high priest, then Jeremiah could have perhaps been next in line to be the high priest. That's a possibility. We know that Hilkiah had two other sons, Azariah, who became the last high priest before the destruction of the temple. If Jeremiah was older, and older of the two, he could have been the next high priest. While this is a plausible assumption, the implications of this truth are great. Not only would Jeremiah typify the Messiah through his prophetic ministry, but also through his Aaronic ancestry. Jeremiah was prophet by election and priest by lineage, the two offices of the Messiah that Jesus covered in his first coming. He came as a prophet, he's now our priest, and we see this in the work of Jeremiah. We also know, as you're going to have a chart on the screen, we also know that Jeremiah's ministry lasted 40 years. It began about 40 years before the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, 40 years before the diaspora. We also know that according to Matthew, that some 40 years before the second destruction of the temple, before the second diaspora, the temple stopped functioning. There is a relation that we will see perhaps later more in depth. And as you can see, at the end of Jeremiah's ministry began the times of the Gentiles. Up to today, it will end in the second coming of Jesus. And Jeremiah, by the way, did not only speak of his time. What did he speak about? He spoke actually of the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord in the scriptures especially focuses on the time of tribulation that is coming very soon. He spoke also of his time when the Babylonian came. He spoke also of the second diaspora with the Romans. But he spoke especially of the time that we have studied in the book of Revelation. Let's go to the next two verses, verses 2 and 3. They give us an indication of the length of ministry of Jeremiah and the type of kings he was actually under. While only three kings are mentioned, there were actually five of them. Two of which the Bible doesn't even recognize, not only because they reigned only 3 months, but they were so wicked that sometimes God doesn't even speak about these people. Josiah was the last righteous king of Judah. After his death in 609 BC, every king who ascended Judah's throne was unworthy of the task. Jeremiah continued his ministry to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah. That date, of course, was July and August 586 BC. We see here that Jeremiah's ministry lasted 40 years. See the symmetry in the graph. While Josiah was given to rule for 31 years. The others, it's 11, 3 months, 11, 3 months. Of the three kings mentioned in Jeremiah, Josiah was a great reformer. Jehoiakim was a great despot. And Zedekiah was no king at all. He was afraid always that people will take his place. Josiah then was the last godly king of Judah, and Hilkiah the last godly priest of Judah before the time of the Gentiles. And Jeremiah typifies the Messiah, who is both the ultimate king and the ultimate priest. These things will come out clearly as we go deeper into the book. Let us go now to verses 4 to 10. This passage brings us to the call, to the anointing, and the description of the work of the prophet. It also brings us to see how the prophet, in his humility and fear of the Lord, did not want at first to take the work. See how it happened. Verses 4 to 10. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." What a call this is. The name Jeremiah means Yahweh appoints. Yahweh establishes it. And here in these verses, the prophet is Jeremiah, so to speak. Notice the four things in verse 5. I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. What a great comfort we may draw from this one verse. This speaks so highly of God's sovereignty. We learn here that God knew Jeremiah before his conception, and while in the womb, he sanctified him and ordained him. We existed in all eternity, it seems, because we were created in God's mind even before we were conceived. And so we're eternal, past and eternal future, because if you know who the Messiah is, you're going to spend eternity with him. As for Jeremiah, in the words that just confirms, in his words, it just confirms that the fetus is truly a human being. It is not just anything. It lives, and God sees him as an individual. And the whole of verse 5 goes for every believer, not just for Jeremiah. This is the beauty here. God, in his omniscience, knows the beginning from the end for all human beings, for all believers. In his eternity, he sanctified us before we were born and ordered us also for the work. Our true identity began with him. This is why we call him Father. He's the one who conceived us. He's the one who created us. And the New Testament confirms that each one of us is, as Jeremiah, all of us who have accepted the Messiah in our heart, each one of us has a share of influence in eternity. See what it says in Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. Do you remember that passage? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see that Jeremiah is not that exclusive. You also have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created, at the time when the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we were already declared saved in Yeshua in view of the crucifixion, in view of God's foreknowledge. The history of Jeremiah and our history as believers began really in past eternity. We are with Jeremiah. And if we have this common point with Jeremiah, we then have a similar calling, right? We also are called to obey and to do the work. Every believer is called to do a certain work he was appointed to by God. Jeremiah responded, but have we responded yet? That's the question that the chapter asks us. This might be really the only difference between us and Jeremiah. He fully responded. That is another great practical example in the life of the prophet we can bring home with us and meditate on. We, like Jeremiah, were known of God before anything was created. This is what the scripture says. And we, like Jeremiah, must have been elected for a specific work to do. What is it? And that begs the question, what is our individual mandate? For Jeremiah was clear, but for each one of us, what work are we called to do? As Jesus says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. I chose you so that you may bear fruit. We are called to bear fruit. Do you know what fruit we are called to bear? That is the question that is often asked. How can we find out what is God's will for our life? Many believers are still asking this question. But if we do not know what God's will is for our lives, it is really not to him that we should look. We shouldn't ask him, really. What we should do is look into our lives first. Do you think that God is not eagerly willing to tell us what we ought to do? This much we have learned from Jeremiah. We saw how he waited for Jeremiah even before Jeremiah was conceived. How he was so excited, as if it is a rarity that one would respond to him. He was so excited with Jeremiah as if the prophet was one in a thousand that would respond to him. Is this what Jesus says in Matthew 22:14? For many are called, but a few are chosen. This also is true. While there is a calling, few of us fully respond to us. We can be Jeremiah. We can be like Jeremiah. We can do work like him. But how to find out God's will in our lives? There's a very simple way to find out. It's not difficult. The very first thing is to do everything you already know God wants you to do. Let me repeat this and put it in the screen. This is important. The very first thing is to do everything you already know God wants you to do, and then you're on your way to become like Jeremiah. This is the beginning of the answer. God has already spoken to us. He is now speaking to us. Can we sincerely tell ourselves that we have done everything that God wants us to do? And these include the obvious things. What are these obvious things? Reading your Bible every day. Simple, isn't it? Spending time in prayer, being in communion with the body of the Messiah, and be servant to other members of the body. Be a witness, a representative of God to the world, to the hundreds of unbelievers that surround us every day, to love each other and have fellowship with each other. Once these things are done, then we can ask God to show us the next step. But it is only logical that he cannot tell us unless we do the first thing first. It is really just a question of discipline. We really are only a few inches from the doorknob that will open up a new phase in our lives, but God is waiting on the other side of the door.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with the second half of our program coming up just after this message. As we wind up for the second part of our program today, we would like to remind our listeners how blessed and privileged we feel to be part of your radio day. We pray that the messages you hear will instruct you, edify you, and encourage you to love the Lord more and follow him into obedience in even greater ways. We are all changed by the challenges and transformed by the trials of life. And as we walk them together, we keep looking up to him who is mighty to break down the walls of Jericho that stand before us and to hand over to us the spiritual victories in life. Yeshua has broken down the greatest barrier, the greatest wall that has separated us from God the Father. Thank you, listeners, for joining us in prayer and in financial support for this ministry. If you have it on your heart to give to this ministry, then you can by logging on to our congregation website at BethAriel.ca. And if God leads you to contribute from the treasures that God has blessed you with, for the continuation of this radio ministry. Shalom, shalom, as we begin part two of today's program.
And these include the obvious things. What are these obvious things? Reading your Bible every day. Simple, isn't it? Spending time in prayer, being in communion with the body of the Messiah, and be servant to other members of the body. be a witness, a representative of God to the world, to the hundreds of unbelievers that surround us every day, to love each other and have fellowship with each other. Once these things are done, then we can ask God to show us the next step.
In the 1880s, a young man who was a young believer at the time found a job in a pawn shop. He knew that God had something else for him to do. He had felt the call of God, and even though he disliked the work that he was doing, he faithfully did it unto the Lord until a more desirable opportunity would open up for him. But he did not want to miss the call of God, and so he wrote the following resolutions. "I promise," he wrote, "that I would rise early every morning to have a few minutes, no less than five, in private prayer. I'll endeavor to conduct myself as a humble, meek, and zealous follower of Jesus, and by serious witness and warning, I will try to lead others to think of the needs of their immortal souls. I hereby vow to read no less than four chapters in God's Word every day. I will cultivate a spirit of self-denial, and I will yield myself a prisoner of love to the Redeemer of the world." And that young man who wrote those resolutions was the Jewish believer William Booth, who later led thousands to the Messiah and founded the Salvation Army. So how are you preparing yourself daily so that God can call on you anytime to be a witness and a worker for His great plan? Welcome to Shalom Ariel as we continue our study in the book of Jeremiah with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
And you know what type of blessings you will experience if you do that? Look at verse 9 and 10 again. "Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms," He says to him. So much is given if we make the first step. We notice, by the way, that to Jeremiah, it is the Lord Jehovah who touched him, right? With Isaiah, who was it? It was an angel who brought a call from the altar. Jeremiah stands unique in the scriptures. And as God anointed Jeremiah, He gave him the ability to do the work that he was called for. So will He do for each one of us. And God has great plans for each one of us. To Jeremiah, He told him in verse 10 that he was going to be over the nations of the world and the kingdoms. If Jeremiah was called to be high priest in Israel, God brought him to a much higher place. He now called him to be not only over Israel, but over the whole world through His word. See now Jeremiah's response to his call in ministry just a few verses before, verses 6. This is a classic as well. It says, "Then I said, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I do not know of any man of God who really accepted God's offer right away." Moses, by the way, you know that Moses gave the same reason? He told God that he could not speak, when we learned, actually, in Acts 7:22, that he was mighty in words and deeds. That was really a puny excuse. But I believe that Moses sincerely thought that he could not fulfill the measure of the work he was given by God. Gideon had the same reaction also. He told God in Judges 6:15, he says, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" But this is what the Lord wants to hear. Because anyone who has reached this point of readiness must first have reached a high point of humility and dependence on God. This is why these people spoke this way. This is what the Spirit of God inspired Paul to answer and write in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Look at these are very powerful words. He says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." It works for all men of God. To realize that our strength is in our dependence on God is also to agree that the work that is given to us to do is practically impossible to do, right? Without God. Jeremiah was called to the nations of the world. Logically, how could he go to the Babylonians or to the Assyrians or to the Egyptians? Hard to conceive. But with God, it is possible. So the one who is called needs humility, he needs fear of the Lord, needs faith, he needs complete reliance on the God of the Bible. And I wish we could determine the age of Jeremiah by this word, youth. The Hebrew word is nar. It is used of babies, of child, of young men, even of adults over 40. But this word may have a reference to his inexperience as well as his young age, and also reference to his great humility. See God's reply to Jeremiah's excuse, verse 7 and 8 again. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says Jehovah. Here it may seem to us that God forces Jeremiah to do the work, but God knew his heart and knew his willingness, and he didn't want Jeremiah to be held back by what? By fear. Fear may be that one great hindrance that may stop us to do the work of the Lord. Do not be afraid. God repeated this so many times in the scriptures. Fear that we may not have the ability to do it. Fear that we are going to be in need. Fear that we're going to be mocked. Fear paralyzes. You know, back in the late 1800s, someone by the name of Fosdick wrote this. He says, fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness of the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. There's a sea of difference between fear and faith. Remember what the Apostle John said in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God is love, and the closer we bring ourselves to him, the more with fear dissipates. We all need to be perfected in love. And by the way, love is an exercise. Love is a choice. It's not something that just comes to you. You have to want to love, and you have to practice love. But the Lord knows our heart, and he knows how to encourage us. See the strong encouragement we find in verses 18 and 19. See the big words he uses here. It says, for behold, I've made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. You see how the word of God, you see how the people of God, the remnant, were isolated in Israel. They had to fight against the religious authorities. They had to fight against the civil authorities. They had to fight against the people. It is the same with the Messianic Jew today. The Messianic Jews that stays within the word of God. And here it is the best encouragement one can get before doing the work of the God. In fact, I believe that these words did it. These were the last words of God before Jeremiah was given a tour of his ministry. How can we not be strengthened by these great words? God literally promised that Jeremiah would be invincible. This is what he promises us if we decide to do the work of the Lord. You know, there's so much we have covered today. To conclude, we can sum up the most practical points. First, the Bible is clear in that we, like Jeremiah, were known of God before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in order to produce great things. And at this time, God is waiting. He is still waiting for us. He is waiting for us to make the move to fulfill what has already been given to us to do before we go to the next stage. This is a truth we need to grasp. You know, it was in the 1880s, a young man who was a young believer at the time was in a very similar situation as we are today. He found a job in a pawn shop. He knew that God had something else for him to do. He felt the call of God. But even though he disliked the work, he did it faithfully as unto the Lord, until a more desirable opportunity will open up to him. And to prepare himself so he would not miss the call of God, he wrote on a scrap of paper the following resolution. Listen to what he wrote. I do promise God that I will rise early every morning to have a few minutes, no less than 5 minutes, in private prayer. I will endeavor to conduct myself as a humble, meek, and zealous follower of Yeshua. And by seriously witnessing and warning, I will try to lead others to think of the needs of their moral souls. I hereby vow to read no less than 4 chapters of God's Word every day. I will cultivate a spirit of self-denial. I will yield myself a prisoner of love to the Redeemer of the world. That young man was a Jewish believer, William Booth, who later led thousands to the Messiah and founded the Salvation Army. This is what God is looking for. This is who he's looking for: resolution and discipline in a spiritual life. And so great blessings will come to you. The next thing is the love we need to acquire for our unsaved neighbors. It is amazing to see how, on the one hand, Jeremiah was persecuted, he was hated, and on the other hand, how he loved the people that persecuted him. That is not normal. It could only be normal through the love of God. And do you know, one more time as we say it, do you know that the word for godly love in the scriptures, the word agape, is practically a biblical invention. In pre-biblical Greek world, this word really did not mean much. It was used in the sense of being satisfied. Greek writers of the time said that this word was colorless and occurs very seldom in their writings. Of course, how can anyone understand the power of this word when in the New Testament it is used as the name of God? God is agape love. We read in 1 John, God is love. This is a selfless love, a sacrificial love that God has and that he used in sending his only begotten son to die for us. This is the love he wants us to have for the others. This is what we're going to learn from Jeremiah. One last word. The ministry of Jeremiah, as we will see it in the few next weeks, would have been considered a failure in today's standard of success. He spoke and not many people came to hear. Because he spoke of sin, because he spoke of repentance, because he spoke of things that do not attract crowds. Jeremiah refutes the popular modern notion that the Bible and the world should be incorporated. If Jeremiah had compromised the word, it would have been at the cost of him ceasing to be the prophet Jeremiah. This truth is one that will come out strong in the following chapters. Let us pray. Well, we praise you, God, Heavenly Father, and we rejoice in the fact to be able to come to your presence and know you better through the words, through your words found in the book of Jeremiah. Our hearts, minds, and mouth are full of thanksgiving as we say, blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now bless us, Lord, and make us a blessing. Bless each member of our families. Guard us and guide us in matters great and small, and use us to extend and strengthen the kingdom of Yeshua in his glory. We pray in his name. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer a simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom, Shalom.